We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Today is known by many as Palm Sunday. It's remembering the triumphal entry of our King, Jesus, when he came back into Jerusalem, riding into the city on a donkey. That doesn't sound triumphal, triumphant, triumphal entry. It doesn't sound like that. But when you start to understand why, it becomes totally different. I don't know the last time you rode a donkey was, but there's nothing amazing about it unless you're a kid and that's like, you know, you think it's a pony, but it's not. You know, how many times have you told, you've seen parents like, yeah, you're gonna ride a pony and then bring them to an animal zoo and it's a donkey. But hey, you just let it go. Strap on a little unicorn horn, now you've just made their dreams come true. Like, that is the weirdest donkey unicorn ever, but you rode it. You know? But there was something about this entry, something about this day that was so special that all these years later, we still talk about it as Palm Sunday. And for those that understand the story, we know that as Jesus was riding in on this donkey, he was riding in just about a week prior to when he would give himself up for the sins of humanity. When he would lay down his own life, because the Bible says no one took it from him, he gave it freely. Isn't that right? And so there's something special about Palm Sunday because when he rode in that day, he knew where he was going and he knew what it was for. Most people would not ride towards harm's way. They would ride away from it. Jesus chose to take the road that was going to benefit us. See, we oftentimes take the road that's going to benefit us, but that's selfish, bias, natural. That's a lot of the idea of just making sure that we survive and all those things that are good in ways and in some ways bad. But Jesus, he chose to do it for us rather than for himself. But what's with the palm leaves? You know, I have a palm leaf right there. Actually, I'm going to take a bunch of palm leaves right down here. Thank you. Ooh, he got me. That's totally okay. So what's with the palm leaves? You know, we talk about this every year because you know what I don't like? I don't like church talk. Does anyone know what church talk is? Like the Christianese, where people talk about things that no one else understands. I like to break it down so you understand. Some people are like, I don't get the palm leaves. Well, we're going to talk about it for a minute. The point was, in that day, as he rode in, people, they were choosing to honor the king. They had to find a way to honor the king. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I'm going to dive into the message. But the point was the palms that they chose to rip from the trees. A lot of, people are going, ah, they did what? No, they chose to do this in honor. But it's not just honoring someone. How many know you don't go out of your way to honor somebody, especially when it comes to taking off your own cloak or your own coat and laying it on the ground so someone else can walk over it? A donkey. You don't do that unless you recognize the crown. So today, I want to talk to you about the crown and the carpet. We're going to talk about the crown and the carpet this Palm Sunday. So as we look into this, we're going to realize that people recognized the crown and chose to build the red carpet of honor in their lives for Christ. If you start in Luke 19... it says, after Jesus said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. That's a big deal. We'll talk about it in a minute. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, basically, why are you stealing my donkey? That's what he's getting to. Say, the Lord needs it. Don't try that. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Why are you taking my Maserati? The Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. where he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So in this is found in three or four of the Gospels. It's found in all the other Gospels. It talks about not only did they lay out cloaks, people, after they laid out cloaks, or people that didn't have cloaks, they went and started ripping down tree branches. I promise you, I've seen the olive trees. It wasn't those. That would have tripped the donkey. It was the palm branches everywhere. And so they laid all of those out to create this amazing red carpet. It wasn't red, but you get the idea. And they were saying what? The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Why? Because they're like, how can you allow your disciples to basically call you God? How can you allow your disciples to give you the praise that only God deserves? See, there's a difference between someone who recognizes the crown and someone who doesn't. There's a big difference, and it's not just in word, it's in deed. These people were not worshiping. They were not praising. They did not see what others saw. Can I tell you, in your everyday life going through work, there are things you do for God that others don't understand, but it's because they don't recognize the crown like you recognize it. The things that you're not willing to do, but they're willing to do, it's because you recognize the crown and you're working on your carpets. Are you hearing me? And so we'll continue. So Jesus said, what? I tell you, he replied to these Pharisees. He said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. Does that sound like what Israel is going through right now still? They will dash you to the ground and you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. How many times has Israel been overthrown? How many times? When I walked through Israel and I was looking at how many times the walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt. And by, you know, this is from the Turk Empire. This is from all the times they've been torn down. And then another empire rebuilds over top of it, right? And so they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Did you get that story? You get that whole thing. Great. And I say that because my iPad just decided that it didn't want to work for you. But what I'll tell you is this, as we began reading through this, there are things that jumped out at me, and it comes down to this idea of understanding and recognizing the crown and beginning to build the carpets for the King. Is that good? And so here's some thoughts. Those that recognize his crown should. Number one, prepare the way through obedience. Not just through word, but also deed. But not just through the deeds you want to do, but through in obedience to what Jesus said to do. And I'm saying that because it's very easy to do the things we want to do for God. It's very hard to do the things God said, but we don't really want to do. Does that make sense? And so as we read in verse 32, we're seeing these disciples that are told by Jesus to go and basically hijack a donkey. Basically, hey, it's just borrowing, but that guy doesn't know it. And so he says, what's he saying? He's saying, hey, go get this colt. Think about the disciples when they were told to go get the colt. They're saying, okay, so Jesus already knows there's a colt there. He's already explained to me exactly what to say when the person comes out and says this, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to bring it back. That just seems like, it's interesting because what if the person doesn't respond well? What if the person doesn't do the thing that God or that Jesus said he would do? And what if there's a guard there and I get arrested for stealing, you know, hijacking a donkey? Like there's a lot of ins and outs here that they just don't seem right. And you go, oh, well, you know, following God isn't like illegal. Well, it is in some countries. What we're doing right now would get people killed and have in Nigeria recently. What we're doing right now has gotten, there are church buildings that have been imploded by dynamite in China recently. There are things around the world that are happening that in our bubble we do not realize is happening. We live in this bubble based on what people want you to know rather than what is happening. And you've actually got to search to find the things that are important in some ways. But we are still seeing persecution. We are still seeing martyrdom. But you don't see it because you live in America. I'm thankful we live in a safe country. But we must understand when we read the words on these pages, they're still happening. So these guys, they're going, okay, he wants me to do what? But they were prepared to prepare the way through obedience. And so it says they went down and they found the colt just as Jesus said. And the guy responded and said, hey, why are you untying my colt? And he said, oh, the Lord needs it. And they're sitting here thinking, man, he told me everything I needed to know. I went about it and it happened just the way he said. Why was it important when you look in the scripture? He says, Jesus, before Jesus had said, make sure you find a young colt, one that was unridden. That just seems like unnecessary detail unless you understand the necessity for it. And so in a moment, I just want to pause in the moment and talk about a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled and why Jesus is so specific. Sometimes you understand God can tell you, hey, just do this. And sometimes God will say, do it like this. In obedience, it's about doing it the way God said, not just doing it. If they had said, hey, you know what? Here's a donkey. It's closer. He won't know the difference. Let's just grab this. Hey, I brought it back to you. Here's one. Oh, sure, it's young enough. Because that's sometimes how we do our praise. That's sometimes how we do our worship. That's sometimes how we bring our sacrifice. Whatever was easier for us, he won't know the difference. But in fact, he knows the difference. And so why was it so important? If we go back to Zechariah and we read a prophecy that was spoken about, it says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus, not only was he going to do the things God had called him to do, he was going to be obedient. If you can imagine, have you ever watched a movie or read a book or something, and there's this part where it's like got the director's cut or the director's story notes and explaining why they did what they did? You need to understand, Jesus had the story notes of the Father and was going line by line, not just being obedient, but being obedient to the way in which he was going to do things, because he was fulfilling prophecy after prophecy. He was fulfilling line after line of the storyteller's notes so that all these years later, we would know Jesus is the Messiah, because he didn't just do it. He did it the way God said it would be done. Why did it have to be this colt? Because it was fulfilling prophecy. So I wonder if these disciples that went did it, I don't know if they had any clue they were part of fulfilling prophecy by being obedient in the way they prepared. I believe even today we are fulfilling prophecy in the way we're obedient. It was underwhelming, but hopefully you got it. I don't know if they knew the moment, but they were fulfilling prophecies of old. And this brings up a thought we should retain. God always has a reason, even when the reason is beyond me. That's something you need to understand, because how many times we go, God, why? God, why did it have to happen like this? God, why couldn't it be the way I wanted it to be? God, why did that person have to do it like that? God, why? Listen, even when the reason is beyond me, he has a reason. And I've got to be able to trust him in that. I've got to understand, I don't have all of the notes. I don't have the storyteller's talking points through every detail. I've got the gist, but he gives me the gist, so I activate faith. You have more than enough to prepare the way through obedience. When you recognize the crown, you're willing to prepare the way. When you recognize these people, when they chose to go out of their way and do all these things, it's not just because someone was coming in town that needed a little bit of honor. They weren't even doing this for other things. We're reading about this going, how on earth were they going to do this for a guy coming in on a donkey with 12 people around him that looked like Motley Crue? They recognize the crown, and that's important for us. We have to recognize the crown, and when we recognize the crown, number two, we should honor him through action. Honor is more than a thought process. It's the way in which we act towards those who we claim to honor. See, the best way for me to understand how well I honor is to ask God. The best way for me to understand how well I honor is to ask, my boss. The best way for me to wonder how or find an answer on how I honor is to ask my spouse. The best way, you've got to ask somebody who needs to be in an honorable position, and they've got to be able to tell you what they think of you and how you've done it. You know, my pastor in Virginia Beach has referred, he said, He says, look, Chad, I understand I'm your pastor, but I'm also your friend, and you're being over-honoring. What does he mean? He means I'm going extra, extra, extra out of my way to make sure I draw the line so that I don't dishonor who he is in my life. I would rather him say, it's cool, man. You're being over-honoring. It's good. Don't worry about it. We're good. Than him say, where's the honor? Because he would never say it. He wouldn't say, where's the honor? He would think it. Well, actually, my pastor would probably say it. But but we've got to understand, we've got to honor God. And we've got to honor God by honoring those he's put in positions in our world, in our life. And I believe there's going to be a day where we go, God, how did I do in honoring you? And that's going to be the day where we're all in front of the throne. You know, people think that either you're in or you're out. We're all going to go to the judgment seat. That's what the Bible says. I want that to be a good conversation. You thought the principle's off. No, just playing. All right. Honor him through action. It says they brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. It wasn't enough to be obedient. They went over and above. They thought, you know what? There's no way he's going to sit on this colt the way it is. We don't have a saddle, but we're going to do something. We don't have this or that, but we're going to take our resource. We're going to use what we have to continue to build a platform, to continue to elevate, to continue to honor. And that's exactly what they did. They built him that platform of offer that cost them something. Their garments, the people that were working and cutting and taking down the branches and running and bringing. I mean, these things didn't just fall. They had to go pull them off. And obviously, we do this is a palm leaf, not a branch, right? You guys get it. A palm branch looks like that, where it's the whole branch. I don't know if you can tell. Right? The whole branch. But the point is, they're going and ripping it down, and they're choosing to be obedient. They're choosing to do the very thing, not because God said they had to, but because God told, not because Jesus said it had to be done that way, but because they recognized the crown and felt it has to be done this way. Does that make sense? And so they were choosing to elevate him through honor. They were choosing to build him in that day what would be considered a red carpet. They recognized the crown enough to want to do something. But the honor has to be an action. It can't just be a thought process. It can't just be a word. Their attitude was, what can I do? Because I must do something to honor the king. They ushered him in through a posture of humility. And you know what? In order to make him space, I must allow him to take my place, take stuff away. In my place of my 24/7 self is what I mean. If I'm going to honor him, he's got to take some of that space. I've got to give up some of that. The Bible talks about I must decrease so that he can increase. So in order for me to honor him, I've got to give him space to honor him. And how do I give him space? By saying no to myself to say yes to him. We cannot honor God without making a self-sacrifice. You say, oh, I honor God. Well, when's the last time you sacrificed for him? I think about that all the time. God, how well am I doing? How well am I being a friend of you? When's the last time I sacrificed for you? When's the last time I wasn't just looking for the free ride? When's the last time I wasn't just looking for the shortcut? When's the last time I wasn't just looking for the fast pass to be able to be successful? When's the last time I actually sacrificed for you to honor you? We don't glorify God unless it costs us something. And we know King David said this. King David made it very plain. He was preparing to burn offerings to the Lord and to sacrifice for the Lord. And if you look, let's jump into that next scripture in 1 Chronicles. It says, David said, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. That costs me nothing. So what's he saying? I'm not going to do something for God unless it costs me something. There's got to be a self-sacrifice. And so although the person was willing to give him the very thing he was asking for, because he knew that David was going to take it and offer it to God, this person recognized King David's crown, recognized what King David wanted to do with this property or with this this thing. And so he was going to give it to him. But David said, no, it's not going to cost me nothing. There has to be sacrifice in it. And that's what honor is. Did you get it? Okay. Then I'll move on. Those that recognize his crown should, number three, praise him openly. The crowd, they praised him. When he came near to the place of the road on the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. First of all, I've been on this road. When you're going down this road, this is a very steep road. So when someone is coming, you can see them from the very top and you have a lot of time. Like, there they are. They'll be here in 35 minutes. We got time. So when you look at the steep nature of the road in which he was coming, and he was coming straight to the very area. Actually, if you look, he was coming through a gate area that would be known as kind of the lamb gate or the sacrifice gate. That's where Jesus ended up riding through. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like he had the story notes. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew why he was coming. And so as he's coming, these people are there providing and preparing a way, but they weren't just doing it through deed. You know how many people, let me just give you a moment here. You know how many people on a Sunday morning, they're here early. It's gotta be just right. It's for God. We gotta prepare this ministry. It's got to be just right. They're preparing perfectly. They're setting it out just right. They're working on it just right. And they're honoring God through their actions. But Monday through Friday, you don't even know they're a Christian. When is the last time you openly praised God in your world? You can serve all day long. You can honor him through action. But these people, when they recognized the crown, action wasn't enough. They had to be open about it. They praised, they shouted, they glorified him. They said exactly who he was to the point they weren't trying to be quiet about it. To the point the resistance that was gonna come came. The reason we don't speak openly about God is because we were wary about the resistance, but these people knew the resistance would come and they still did it. Why? Because they understood, they recognized the crown. And so I think about it. I was reading it in a devotional the other day. I don't know if you're familiar with Darlene Check. She kind of helped become the lead worship person who really helped be the face of Hillsong music for those that are familiar with that. And she was explaining how in our lives we can get so used to things, so common every day. You know, I travel on an airplane. She said this line, if you travel on a plane, you kind of check out of things that would normally be important, right? Like, you know, it's time for safety time and they're telling you how to use a seatbelt. You're like, I got it. But it's interesting because she was explaining in this devotional how there was this young kid who clearly had never been on a plane and he was freaking out about how amazing it was. I can see the whole world from up here as soon as they took off. And it made her stop and realize, wait a minute, I wonder if I can see the whole world from up here. And she took a moment to relook at something that had become so common in a new way. Too many times we've made it so common to be in God's house. We've made it so common to be in his presence. We kind of shut off instead of really consider who God is and remember his majesty and remember how amazed we should be in his presence. But yet now we're focused more on what people will say, what people will think. I remember one of the first times that God really, really touched me as a young person. I was ugly crying. I was messed up. And I couldn't help myself but just not care who was around me because God was moving in a way that I couldn't say wasn't God. And so I got to the place where I just didn't care anymore. Yeah. That's a good place. Yeah. You know, we should care about the things God cares about. We should be responsible. I'm not saying you shouldn't care about your kids anymore. Like, deal with it yourself. I only care about God. That's not what I'm saying. But what I understand is that when I praise God, I have to be willing to praise him openly. And that's what these people were really willing to do. But what provoked the praise is my question. What provoked the praise? It says, for all the miracles they had seen. That's what the scripture says. For all the miracles they had seen, it provoked them to praise in a way that others thought was crazy. You look at King David when he danced around the ark naked. He was butt naked. But the point was he didn't even care. He's like, the ark's here. He runs outside. He's like, hey. You know, he was having a blast because he just got to the moment where he was like, God is here. Everything must stop. I just got to get my praise on. And his wife called him foolish. And he said, you think this is foolish? Just wait until I break out my next routine. For all the miracles these people had seen, they couldn't help but praise God. And so here's the question. Does what I choose to focus on provoke praise? They chose to focus on God's goodness in their life. They chose to focus on what Jesus had done, what they had seen Jesus do. And they chose to allow the praise to come from that place, which makes it extremely genuine. What am I focused on? Many don't praise because they don't acknowledge what's praiseworthy. They see things as coincidence rather than God's hand in their life. Wow, I just barely escaped that. Whoo, glad that didn't happen. There's a reason it didn't happen. Get your praise on. No? Okay. Then get your praise on. It's our job to keep the stone silent. Jesus, what did he say when the Pharisees said, aren't you going to rebuke them for calling you God and praising you and giving you the glory? And Jesus said what? He said, if they don't, the stones will cry out. The rocks will cry out. Why? The earth understands his majesty. The ones that have been created should recognize the crown. We've all been created by God, and we need to recognize who Jesus is in our life. It's our job to keep the stone silent like we see in verse 39 and 40. I'm going to keep moving. Did you get that? Those that recognize his crown should, number four, capture and carry his heart. You ever have something happen and you just kind of, it's kind of a capture moment. Like you see something and you're like, whoa. And you see something more than what you saw. Does it make sense? Like you see something and you, like maybe it's a child who falls and's hurt and whatever. And the mother runs over and picks up the child. And it's like they're in the middle of the road and the mother doesn't even care about oncoming traffic kind of thing. And she's like sitting in the road trying to help the child. And you come to this moment where you don't just go, well, that was nice. You actually capture this moment of what unconditional love looks like. Regardless of what it would have done for her well-being, it was all about the child. And you didn't just see it as nice, you captured unconditional. That was unconditional. See, what we have to do is we've got to become masters at capturing moments. And when we're around Jesus, when we're in his word, when we're digging through stories, we've got to capture and carry it. It can't just be a thought that we had. It can't just be, oh, that was a good sermon from a few weeks ago. It can't be those things. It needs to be a capture moment so that we think about it in the moment. And what do I mean? The next time something comes up, it comes right back to you because you properly captured it. You've captured many things in your life. You can close your eyes and walk through your bedroom. You know where the bed is. You know just where the night table is. Every once in a while, you're a little off and you catch the little toe. But otherwise, you capture that thing. We've got to capture and carry Jesus' heart. It says in verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it. And it's not just because it's a beautiful view. Like I said, I've been down that road and it's actually, you know, the picture you see of Jerusalem over the city is normally like the postcard. That's normally the road you're looking at it from. And so he's coming down the most picturesque view of Jerusalem, but he wasn't crying over how beautiful it was. He was crying over what was to come and how they had missed him, how they weren't prepared for him. It says he wept over it. Why did his heart break for the city? They were missing God with them, right? Emmanuel, God who is with us. They were missing the God who was there for them. They were missing salvation on their stoop. God was outside their door. The Messiah was at the doorstep, but they couldn't see him. They couldn't recognize the only one they had been praying for centuries. Why? Because he didn't look like or act like what they expected. Our perception of God can hinder our reception of his best for our lives. The way you see the world is really important for you to understand. If you've come up in a rough situation, you didn't have a lot growing up, you've got to understand who God is and that he's big enough to overcome your past so that you're not limited to your past. What you've got to understand is that if you can capture who Christ is, if you can capture who he is and you can get his heart, you can allow your perception of the world to change so that you actually don't have the wrong attitude towards the world, so that you don't live in a place where everyone owes you because you didn't have when you were younger. Your perception can hinder God being able to get something to you. God sent Jesus to the world, but because Jesus didn't look like they expected and he didn't act like they expected, they did not receive him. What is my perception hindering me from receiving? Jesus may not be what they thought. Jesus may not be what you thought, but he's everything you need. Let's change the way we look at God. He's not just a genie in the lamp. He's not just this thing, this place, this person that you pray to when things go bad. He's ever present and he's ready to help. But it's relationship he's hungry for. Those that recognize his crown, last point, number five, should help others recognize their salvation. See, when I looked at this story, and as I was reading through this and saw Jesus weep for a city that couldn't recognize him, I realized he still weeps for those that don't recognize him. See, we oftentimes think because Jesus defeated sin, because he ascended to the right hand of the Father, because victory has been won in his book, you think that he's just all the time happy, but he's still heartbroken over those that don't recognize him. He's still choosing to do everything he can to try and get their attention. And those that recognize the crown, they are going to work towards helping others recognize. They're going to capture and carry the heart of Jesus that weeps for those that don't understand who he is, that weeps for the fact that he's weeping not because he's sad that they're going to miss him. He's weeping because he understands that this is the hinge moment on whether they will be away from him forever. Eternity is much bigger problem than here and now. We live our life by what we see, but the thereafter, eternity is what makes God, his heart break for us, because he knows we were created for something better than we have here. He knows we got a raw deal here because the people, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, screwed up and allowed sin by doing the thing God said not to do. And so he's sitting here going, I have a better. But there's no access unless it's through the Son. If you had only known, Jesus said, you did not recognize though. If you had only known. And so that's why when I look at it, I go, man, because I recognize who Jesus is, because I understand the crown, because I'm willing to prepare the way, I've also got to be willing to go out of my way to help others recognize salvation at their stoop. Jesus is still at the door knocking. The Bible says he is at the door of our heart knocking, waiting for those that would invite him in. And if they do, he will come in and dine with them. What does that mean? He doesn't mean just a quick little dinner. He's looking for a relationship. When's the last time you decided to go dine with someone you had no intention of having a relationship with? I'm not talking business meeting. I'm talking you a Friday night. Hey, I don't even know you. I don't like you. Let's go have something to eat. That doesn't happen. God wants a real relationship. And so, look, if you're taking notes, part of my purpose is to help others find theirs through Christ. And you don't have to be a pastor to say that's part of your purpose. I promise, being a pastor is not what you think. It's more than you think, it's not what you think, all at the same time. But what I'll tell you is that all of our purpose is the same, that we need to help others recognize the crown. How do we do that? A lot of people ask me, I choose not to be in my office a lot. I choose to work on everything out in the coffee shops and around people. And what do they see? They walk by and they see these little things that I'm literally building a carpet. And they go, what you doing there? I choose to be in a place where I can try and help others recognize the crown. oftentimes they don't recognize the fact that I'm talking about the crown. They just see me building a carpet. In your everyday life, you have an opportunity to continue to roll out the red carpet for Jesus. And more people are going to be talking about, why do you do this? What are they saying? Why are you working on a carpet that allows you to talk about the crown? We are here for a bigger purpose. We are here for more than our dreams. We're here to help others understand their purpose is through Christ. And by doing the very thing we were called for, we end up seeing the dreams we didn't even know we had in our hearts start to become fulfilled and start to have this absolute wowing moment when you're part of something bigger than yourselves. We got to recognize the crown and we got to continue to build the carpet. Did you receive the word? Would you bow your heads with me? Come on.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.